You know, I believe God's got a purpose for each one of us. I preach about that purpose quite often, but I believe He's got a purpose for every generation too. And in the book of Acts, in chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas, and Paul and another group, I mean, he goes to Antioch, and he's been traveling around, you know, and he's still, a lot of people know him as Saul still, you know, but he is kind of, you know, known as, from the apostles, the disciples, they all call him Paul now. But, you know, in the Jewish churches, synagogues, they still probably see him as Saul. So he's trying to make this transition. So they kind of welcomed him in because they really didn't know what they were getting into. And so, you know, he goes to Antioch. In chapter 13 kind of highlights this, you know, starting in verse 13. If you go on down to verse 15, and it says, verse 14 there, he says, on the Sabbath day they entered into the synagogue and sat down, and after the reading from the law and the prophets, the leaders of the synagogue sent word to them, saying, brothers, if you have a word or exhortation for the people, please speak. I don't think they knew what they were getting into, because anytime you invite a preacher to come say a word, you're going to be a while, right? And Paul had a history of preaching long-winded messages. Matter of fact, there's a story in the Bible where Paul preached so long that a young man was sitting in the window, got tired, fell asleep, fell out of the window, and died. So, but Paul went and put his hands on him, it says in the Bible, when he came back to life, right? But he was preaching. Now, can you imagine? He started in earlier in the afternoon. He knew he had a lot to say, and then he preached all the way through midnight. Now, how many of you would stay and listen to me preach from till midnight? A couple of you, yeah? Might have to take a break or two. But that's a long time. They didn't have air conditioning back then, you know. So anyway, that's a different story. But he goes on to say, he stands up. Okay, here's Paul. He stands up. And I can just vision Paul. And it says, Paul motioned with his hands. I can just see him standing there. He says this, verse 16, standing up, Paul motioned with his hands, and he said, fellow Israelites and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. The God of the people of Israel chose our ancestors. He made the people prosper during their stay in Egypt. With mighty power, He led them out of that country. For about 40 years, He endured their conduct. That's a good one to circle. You think God doesn't endure our conduct? I mean, sometimes we do some pretty stupid stuff, and He's like, I'm sure He's just like, oh. You know, just like we do with our kids sometimes. We're like, oh, that's not mine. But He loves us. I got to get back on track. In the wilderness, and He overthrew seven nations in Cana, giving their land to His people and their inheritance. And all this took about 450 years. So after this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel, the prophets, and then the people asked for a king, and He gave them Saul, son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled for 40 years. After removing Saul, He made David their king. God testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. There's another thing you can circle within this scripture, because here you find, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Man, isn't that wonderful? Can we be that way? Did God find you? Amen. Or did you find God? I love that right there. That's not what I'm preaching on this morning. It's a different message. From this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior Jesus, as He promised. Before the coming of Jesus, John preached repentance and baptism to all the people of Israel. As John was completing his work, he said, who do you suppose I am? I am not the one you are looking for, but there is one coming from whose sandals who's coming after me, whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. Fellow children of Abraham and you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus, yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. And when they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the cross and laid him in the tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to our people. We tell you the good news. What God promised our ancestors, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus, as it is written in the second Psalm. You are my son, today I have become your father. God raised him from the dead so that he will never be subject to decay. As God has said, I will give you the holy and sure blessing promised to David. So it is also stated elsewhere, you will not let your Holy One see decay. That's something important to circle as well. Now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep and he was buried with his ancestors and his body decayed. But the one whom God raised from the dead will not see decay. Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sin is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin. Circle that one. A justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. Take care that what the prophets have said does not happen to you. Look, you scoffers, wander and perish, for I am going to do something in you in your days that you would never believe, even if someone told you. Circle that too. As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. And when the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the whole city coming to hear the word of the Lord? It's amazing. Vision in my head. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy. They began to contradict what Paul was saying and heaped abuse upon him. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly. We had to speak the word of God to you first, since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life. Was a pretty bold statement, wasn't it? We now turn to the Gentiles, for this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light. This is what it says. I have made you a light for the Gentiles. Paul declared his promise. He declared his purpose. God gave Paul a purpose. But also, if you read there in the Scripture, in verse 36, it says, now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation. And I want you to think about that this morning. God has a purpose for every one of us in our generation, right now, today. You know, we can talk about the church in the past, and we might even think about the church in the future, about what it might be like. But let me tell you, God has given us a purpose for this day, for this generation, right here where we're at. And that means, for it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. If you're young, your generation, God has a purpose for you, for the generation that you live in. We all have a purpose. We know the purpose that God has given us because Jesus told His disciples, He said, my favorite scripture, go into all the world, right? Make disciples, teach them, baptize them, preach the word, the good news. Share the good news to everyone that you meet. Teach them to obey what I've taught you. That's our purpose. Not for last generation, not for the next generation, but for our generation that we're in right now. My generation, this is who God sent me to. This is where I'm at right now. I'm to preach to this generation. Amen? Amen. We all have a purpose. I was reading some different things as I was preparing for this, and I Googled some stuff about purpose. And you know, Google is so good, isn't it? You can find all kinds of good information on Google. Just stay away from Wikipedia, because sometimes it's just not right. But you know, for Martin Luther, God's purpose for him was to turn the church from false teaching generated by the corrupted Roman Catholic Church at the time. And he was there. His purpose was to turn the church back to the true teachings of the Bible. And so he started the Reformation. He had a purpose for his generation. And he served that purpose in his generation. When England was going spiritually decayed, when they were off the rails spiritually, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? We find a story about John Wesley. He rose to the occasion and brought spiritual renewal through the Methodist movement. And John Wesley fulfilled God's purpose in his generation. We can read those great stories about the Great Awakening. And those preachers that preached then, that was for their generation that God brought them into. When the Hebrides Islands is a small group of islands off the coast of Scotland. Yeah, Jim, I looked at my map, so I know where that's at. Sometimes it's not my strong, you know. I know where Anna is. No. Anyway, anybody heard of the Hebrides Islands? Not many? Yeah? Yeah, well, you know, they were a small group of islands off the coast of Scotland. And in 1948, the churches in the Hebrides Islands were in a state of darkness. They felt a heaviness and they were shrinking in numbers. They were growing cold in their spiritual lives. And a group of young men, now, young people, God uses seven young deacons to pray and intercede for a revival to come upon the islands. And this is all historical facts written down, documented. They would pray in an old barn, and even during the wintertime where they would meet, they would cover themselves in thick blankets so that they could pray together. That's dedication, isn't it? But also at the same time, God used two young ladies, Peggy and Christine Smith, to pray for revival to come also upon the island. Peggy was 84 and Christine was 82. Peggy was almost blind and Christine was bent over, crippled with arthritis. But God used them to fulfill His purpose through their fervent prayers. A powerful revival hit the islands in 1948 that's still talked about today because of the dedication of the prayers, the purpose that was put on their hearts. Has God ever spoke to you and it's like asked you to do something? Has God ever given you a vision? Sometimes we don't want to think about that, but God speaks to us if you just listen. God will guide and direct your steps. That's what He says. He'll guide your path. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. God has a purpose for our generation, and it is our duty to discover what God has called us to fulfill. We need to serve God's purpose for our generation. Amen? The Bible in Acts 13:36 says that before David died, he served the purpose of God in his own generation. I believe that's for each and every one of us. For me, I want what was recorded for David in my life, don't you? I want, it sometime in the future, I want people to look back and say, that guy served God's purpose in his life. That's what I want people to have recorded of me. Isn't that what you want? Wouldn't you like that? You know, David received a vision of God's purpose in his generation, and it was because that Samuel took the horn of oil and he anointed him. And I talked about that on Wednesday night, about the anointing and the purpose of the anointing and where it came from, and how they just used everyday ordinary olive oil, and they could use it in a sacred way, and it represents the Holy Spirit, but it also represents much, much more. It's a great study if you take time to read about the anointing. We like to bring people forward and anoint them with oil. It represents the Holy Spirit doing its work in somebody's life. I believe that. Now this oil here has frankincense and all kinds of other stuff in it, you know, makes it smell good. But it's usually just olive oil is what it is. We cook with it. They say it's good for you. But the process of getting the olive oil takes crushing and pressure and takes all these things. And you know, the Gethsemane means crushing. You read about Jesus and what he went through and how it represents olives. The olive tree. Jesus is the olive tree. David served God's purpose for his generation. And I think God gives us all a vision, just as David received a vision from God when he was anointed. And it says there in verse 13, or chapter 16 of 1 Samuel, verse 13, it says, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward, and Samuel arose and went to Ramah. When Saul fell into sin, he refused to repent, and God chose a simple little shepherd boy to fulfill his destiny, his plan. And in 1 Samuel 16:13, the prophet Samuel anointed David to be the next king over Israel. And I believe that when Samuel poured out the oil on David, he received God's vision of what it is he was to do in his generation. God's vision of what he is to do in his generation. And now, you know, God gives us a vision for what we are to do in our generation. And I think there's a lot of people who lose focus of their vision. Many people, they don't preserve to the end. Many people find themselves backsliding away from the church and away from God, and they don't complete their vision. They don't complete their purpose. David, if you know the story about David, you know, people love David. He was just a young boy whenever he was anointed. He wasn't the strongest of his brothers. He wasn't the, you know, he was just this little kid, just this little guy that took care of sheep, and God used him in a mighty way. And with the Holy Spirit upon him, he was able to slay Goliath. His brothers didn't like that too much because, you know, he was kind of showing them up. I guess what I'm trying to say is, keep focused on what God has called you to do. So many times I hear people talk about, well, you know, I think I was called to preach, and they're not even going to church now, and that was years and years ago. I think God was going to use me for something, and something happened in the church, and our life happened, you know, and maybe sometimes, you know, you get into a bad relationship and life goes down a different wrong, you know, path, and you know in the back of your heart, you know in the back of your mind that God wanted to use you for something, and now you feel like you're just wasted your time, or, you know, your vision, I guess what I'm saying. But if God's given you a vision, He's given you a vision. It's never too late to complete your vision. I challenge you to keep your eyes focused on the vision. Dream about it and move towards it by obeying God step by step. I believe God wants to save this generation, don't you? Amen? Amen. Now, how's He going to do that? He's going to do it by using us. He's going to do it using us. Young and old, He's using us in this generation right now that we're in. He's called every one of us. I believe that. We have a purpose to tell the world that this generation, you can be saved. You can know, you can have a great relationship with Jesus Christ who loves you so much. You can experience the saving and sanctifying power of Jesus in your life. You can feel the anointing upon you. You guys are quiet this morning. David received an anointing to accomplish the vision, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward, it says. The anointing makes that which is ordinary extraordinary, don't you know? That's how a little scrawny kid can take down a big giant. It had nothing to do with the little guy's strength other than his faith. The purpose that he received, and he accepted it. He loved God. He was a man after God's own heart. And God said He was willing to do everything I wanted Him to do. It didn't matter how big it was. Sometimes we get scared about how big it is. I can't do that, God. It's way too big. I can't do that. I can tell you the truth. There's been many times in my life, especially over the last 5 years, that I felt like I was too ordinary. That I felt like I was not the right person. But God wanted to use me. When God called me to preach, I rejected it. I didn't want to preach. I didn't mind witnessing to people. I didn't mind working in the church. I didn't mind telling. I didn't mind doing that kind of stuff, but not being a pastor. That was not for me. I've seen what pastors go through. Being honest with you. It's like, nope, not for me. I don't have a degree from Olivet. I don't have a degree from Tribeca, or NBC, or NTS, or Mid-America, any of our big famous Bible colleges or universities in the Nazarene Church. But when I allowed the Holy Spirit to take control of my life, I became a different person.
Amen.
And those are the key words. When I allowed the Holy Spirit to take control of my life, I became a different person. The anointing of God needs to be cultivated. It's got to be cultivated. I take classes now. I make great grades. Didn't do that in high school, I got to be honest. I hated school. I really did. I don't like to use that word very much because I want to be encouraging to my kids. But I did. Man, I hated school when I was a kid. I'd just soon go work on the farm, cut wood. Man, that's pretty serious there. Send me into hayfield. Don't send me to school. I'm telling the truth, aren't I? But you know, I'm eager when it comes to learning about God, learning about the Scriptures. I read now, you know, more than I ever did, ever. You know, used to, you'd give me a 300-page book, and I was like, oh, it was like the end of the world. It's going to take me a year. And you know, now, you know, if I have a class, sometimes I got to read 4 books, and most of the time they're a little more than 300 pages, and I can read all 4 books in, you know, 6 or 7 weeks and write papers on them and stuff like that. And yeah, it's testing, it's trying. But, man, I just pray. I was like, God, you got to help me through this. Because I can't do it. I feel like David sometimes when the Spirit comes on you. I sit down behind the computer and I'm like, I got to write this paper. You know, I got to write this paper. Help me, God. And I can sit and I can just write. I can say things that I can't say, it seems like, with my mouth. I mess stuff up all the time. And I can sit and write. It seems like it comes out better. You have to also believe that you've been anointed. So I said, I believe the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit's power. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe those things. Amen? Amen. I believe Jesus died for me. I don't just say it, I believe it. We have to believe in the anointing of God. We have to believe in the power of God. We have to believe that He can see us through things. Help us accomplish those big things that we don't think we can do, like slaying a giant. It may not be easy. When you read the whole story about David, you see that after his anointing and after he tried to be nice to King Saul, you know, as he, you know, and Saul got worse and worse because he had an evil spirit that came on him. He wanted to kill David because he was jealous of David. And so David had to run and hide in caves. And you know, and he could have gathered guys together and he could have went and probably killed Saul because he had the power to do that. And he had a lot of friends and people loved him. They would serve him and follow him. And it wasn't until, you know, when he got his anointing, he was just a young kid, but it wasn't until he was in his 30s before he became king. So that time in between that, it was just nothing but running and fighting and all that kind of stuff. Man, he had a rough life there for a long while. Allowing God to mold your character and growing in holiness and in purity. Man, that scares people. That's like a big thing. To let God mold your character. To let God bring you into a place of holiness and purity. It seems like an impossible task. Well, it is if you rely on yourself. Because you can't do it. Only God can do that. Preached not too long ago about a lifestyle of repentance. That's probably been a couple years ago. We have to live in a lifestyle of repentance. Like Paul said, I get up, I die daily. Man, before my feet hits the floor, God, forgive me of anything. Help me through this day. I give myself to you. Use me today for your purpose. David forsook all. He gave up everything that he had that was comfortable to pursue the vision that God had gave him. I know a lot of pastors that have gave up everything. Big jobs, lots of money making to be a pastor. They gave up a lot. Sometimes we give up time with our family. That's hard. Sometimes you just have to do those things to be a pastor. Sometimes you have to drive to St. Louis to visit somebody. Sometimes you have funerals that never seem like you're at the right time, right? But that's not just for pastors. That's for all of us. Sometimes we sacrifice things to serve God. Our time. To be able to come and gather together with our friends. Unified, praying fervently for this generation that we live in. Because that's what God wants us to do. That's why we are called the church. It's His church. And we're called for this generation to help save this generation. He's going to use us to do that. If we're willing. If we're willing. Because He'll find somebody. Just like He found David. Just like He found Paul. Paul had a purpose, and that was to preach the word to the Gentiles. Paul would have much rather just stayed with the Jews because he was a Jew and he knew all about the Jews. And God's like, no, I want you to go to the Gentiles. And I'm sure Paul was like, no, I hate the Gentiles. I mean, that's what Jews did. Jews hated the Gentiles. He's like, no, I don't want to do that. But Paul was willing to follow the vision that Jesus gave him on the road to Damascus to do everything that Jesus asked him to do. Just like David, he did everything. Was he perfect? We look at David's story. David wasn't perfect. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, we know the story about Bathsheba. It didn't start there. It started before that, before he was even really king. I mean, he goes to this guy's house and he says, you know, we've been guarding your flocks and your cattle and all this all year, and we'd like to have a little compensation over this. So the guy says, no, I'm not giving you nothing. So David's like, he sent guys to ask him for payment. So they come back and tell David, the guy said no. He's not going to give us anything. David's like, all right. So David grabs, you know, not just a couple guys to go down there and rough this guy up to get payment. He takes 400 or so, armed with swords, and they're ready to fight, man. So they go to this guy, they're going to this guy's house. David's going to get his money. I'm thinking 400? I mean, really? I mean, he was mad. So as messed up as this story is, you think we're not there yet. So then this guy's wife hears about it, and she comes out and brings this, you know, peace offering to David. You know, oh, don't kill my husband and all this kind of stuff, you know. And so David accepts that. He cools down a little bit, you know, and so they go on their way. Well, then this guy dies in the middle of the night. He has a heart attack, dies. And then David takes that guy's wife to be his wife. Now that's messed up. I'm serious. I mean, there's lots of stories in there. To me, I think that's kind of... Now, if I was your pastor and I had did that, I wouldn't be your pastor, probably. Right? I mean, you guys wouldn't elect somebody like that, would you? But man, we see stories. Our Bible heroes within the Scripture, man, they were just imperfect people. And I think those stories are there just to show us that it's God who gives us the purpose and the vision to do those things. And when we're not doing what God wants us to do, that's how stupid we can get. We can do some pretty dumb, stupid things. When we get off the vision that God has given us, that's my point. You know, David, I feel like David lost everything the day he decided to pursue God. And that's what we give up everything. We give up everything that we are to pursue God. That's what it means to take up your cross and follow me. Jesus had this big, long talk with his disciples about, do you really know what it means to follow me? Do you really get it? Do you really understand all about that? So at the end of your life, what would be recorded of you? What will be recorded of you? Will it be that maybe written that, man, this was a man after God's own heart and he was willing to do everything that God asked him to do? When you stand before God at the end of days, which we all will, saved or unsaved, we'll all stand before God and we'll give an account. And he'll say, either welcome in, good and faithful servant, or depart from me, I never knew you. For me, I want to try to do my best to serve God's purpose in my life for this generation I'm living in right now. I want to do the best I can, and I hope that is your vision as well. So pray about that. Let's fervently pray for our community and our church. Let's pray together. Let's pray at home on our own. But let's pray for our church and pray for our community. Let's pray that God gives us a vision so that we can complete His purpose that we all have. Let's pursue that vision together. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I thank You so much. Lord, I pray that, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit just moves in this place like it never has before. Lord, sanctify us today, pure and holy. Lord, go with us wherever we go. Lord, anoint us today, so that we can preach the good news to all that we meet. So Lord, help us today. Lord, I pray for this community that people will feel Your wooing and come to know You in a relationship like we have. Lord, I praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.